Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Capes and Commentaries. And I'm Tyler Baker, and with me, as always, is Nasty Nate Kennedy, and we're just sharing a fun laugh at Nathan's expense here. Just hearing him say the word "fuck" just makes me laugh. It's just brings a smile to my face. Only Jim Cornette could beat Nathan in saying that word, and it just being just as humorous, you know.
I mean, anyone can throw that word around, right?
Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte pissed off is pretty funny, too.
It's how you emphasize the word. It's how you use it in a sentence. You got to, like, fuck. Like, you got to just, you got to get behind it, you know?
Oh, I think the funnest is when you're completely, like motionless and emotionless, and you just say it. You know, you're looking at something. Fuck.
Well...
I tend to find that to be one of the funniest times you say, and he's right, it's all in context, because that's, you know, having Tom Cruise say shit multiple times or dick or something, a bunch in Tropic Thunder, that's not funny, because he's just saying it to be saying it, you know. It has to be, you know, you can't just say it and, oh, he's cussing because it's funny. Like, no, it's not how it works. But
that's what you put behind it. I was thinking too, If I ended up doing the intro today, I was gonna hit you with this, because you always talk about my money situation and everything. It's like I was gonna be like the tank in the bank.
I like that. Yeah.
No, but yeah. I don't at the same time. It's like, just, you know, I save my money. Yeah, I make enough. I make enough, and I don't spend a whole lot. So I save it.
No. You spend. You can buy whatever you want.
I can buy what I want, because I pay my bills, and the money saved. Like I've saved before, and now that I make more, then it's easier.
Plus, the two incomes also helps with that too, to where you can. Yeah. See, I got to pay it all by myself, so I'm lucky, you know. If I get a good paycheck, I'll get everything paid. I'll treat myself to a few things. I'm like, oh no, I'm
back. Yeah, those. We both yesterday got in the NECA Ninja Turtles from the '90s film. Oh man, I actually got them right here. Let me. If it doesn't all fall apart, everything hits my keyboard and whatnot. Oh my god, like they're just beautiful. Look at that.
And I repose them, so they're different than.
You had to send me a picture of what you did this time around.
Yeah, it's I like it a lot. I will say, by far.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Wait, let me get them in frame a little bit better. Yeah. Oh my Tommy god. Looks amazing. Yeah. They just look so good. You guys check your local GameStops, because they're exclusive to there.
Oh, they're carrying them in store.
They actually have them in store. Supposedly.
Yeah, man.
I think when I go out today, I might just pop into one of them just out of curiosity, see if they have anybody, or, you know, if they're selling. I imagine they are. They would have to.
I'd like to think, because I would love to have a reason to get my nephew, like, it'd be awesome to get him a whole set to, or even get one for my brother for him to put on this. He doesn't buy collectibles for that much for himself, but he would actually love to have probably like a Leo or a Raph to put on the shelf in his den or something like that. But I will say this, I think that's the best work Nick has ever done on anything I've ever seen.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And
I got a bunch of Arnold figures over here, of Conan, Predator, Terminator. I got Rambo over here. The attention to detail put into those 7-inch turtles, the articulation, and keeping the dark shadows where their eyes are at to make them look very serious, except for Mikey, because he's got the big, you know, kind of deer eyes, you know, looking all innocent and ready to kick someone's ass too. But Don, Leo, and Raph, that shadowing in around their eyepiece, around their bandana, it's just it leaves a lot of, you know, aggression and maturity, and has that adult collector feel that it should. It's like, this is a serious take on this. Which makes those things that Playmates put out, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah, those things look like shit. I saw, like, side-by-side comparisons. And there was actually someone tweeted, like, something about it, and NECA was like, is this a real question? But the beautiful thing about them is, you know, they came out with the quarter-scale ones first. And all of those look amazing. And you would think going from that and scaling it down, you would lose a lot of that detail, but none of it's lost.
No.
None of it is.
No, if anything, there's a little bit more posability to have the interchangeable headband pieces, to have it draping on your shoulder or blowing from the left or right or left or right side. So I mix those up a little bit. I got Raph holding his size. You can't do like the clutch knuckle thing. So I got him holding, but having him crossed over like this, like he's just kind of closed up, ready to just start stabbing foot soldiers.
Did you put Leo on his back? Because he always gets his ass kicked and he sucks.
No, he's clearly standing out front.
Of course he is.
Yes. But Raph's kind of standing directly behind him, like, you know, ready to start kicking ass. I got Don with the staff out. Mikey's got both his chucks out, I hope to God, like, you know, I hope those things do so well, because I got to get Shredder. I got to get the Foot Soldier, and they cost an arm and leg to get.
Yeah, well, those are coming out quarter scale first, so I'm kind of curious if there will be 7-inch versions of those. Does it depend on how well they sell, or do they just, they're like, fuck it, well, yeah, we're doing this. Does anybody, you know that at all? Have you read anything?
No, it's kind of one of those things that when they said they were doing it, it was just dropped. Hey, next February, you can pre-order now, exclusive to GameStop. And that was it. Yeah. And I know people were pissed off who's paid all that money for a set at San Diego, who paid a lot more for the set.
Yeah, but they actually got more with their set, too. There's like a backdrop and all this other shit in the set, I believe. So and a few more accessories that you don't get with these, but... I get it for them, but shit, they had first dibs and they got them. I'm glad that NECA, and I wish more companies would do this, find a way to maybe scale it a bit, but at least not make it limited too. That way you don't have to go on eBay and
I've never fucked in the ass. Like, yeah, because it feels like you're constantly limiting, because, you know, this is dealing with people who've got money, where this is marketed towards adults, not children. So you have to assume that adults are buying this, they have money. But you know what? We don't all have an extra $200 to fork over immediately, you know, for stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, I'm one of all those other NECA sets where it's the arcade versions of Foot Soldiers or the pixelated turtles. And I couldn't get any of them. And I wasn't missing that up. And it was worth every penny, $119 for including shipping for the set, essentially $120. And I will get Shredder. I will buy that quarter scale Shredder. I will not. I probably won't be able to get Don, Raph, and Mikey in the quarter scale at this point, because I'm quite happy with what I, unless I run across them, you know, in a bargain or something like that. But even then,
just sitting in a dumpster randomly. Yeah, I'll pick that up, dude. It's because you have Leo in the quarter scale, and I have Raph in the quarter scale, and it would be tempting just to get the rest of them, get the Foot Soldier, get Shredder. Hell, dude, get like 2 Foot Soldiers. Oh my god, one on each side.
Yeah,
put Shredder in the middle and 2. Oh my god.
Yeah.
See, like I that's too much money. That would be like more than $600, because they're
$120 a piece.
Yeah, shit. So you're looking at about $700.
Whew. That's a lot of money. And I mean, that's what makes being a collector, an adult collector, this stuff. I mean, you know, me and Nathan both, you know, and I know I make jokes about talking about what I can't get. I mean, I try to treat myself to this stuff. If I desperately want, I'm going to make sure I have it. But for the most part, it's, you know, when you buy something expensive, you realize it's like a snowball effect. You know, for bank account and stuff like that. And then you're short on this, short on that. I mean, even though you're getting everything paid, but, you know, that I'm thankful, very grateful that I had enough money to that. And I made sure, I told myself, like, hey, look, February's coming up. I got to make sure I have the money to cover it. And I did. And,
I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of tempted to, look at like little couches and shit that would fit the scale. That way you can have, like, you know, Mikey sitting on the couch with a slice of pizza in his hands.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I might look into that.
I know Playmates has got, you know, I'm sure that they have a lot of dealings with this, because they don't want their turtle stuff, which I'm like, NECA stuff is not sold directly next to the rinky dink current Playmates stuff. It's so there's like, there's no, you know, counterproduction to business. You know, it's like, you know, these are for adults, those are for kids. So
One's buying those new turtle figures. No one's buying them
either, too.
Because that cartoon fucking sucks.
And I saw they're doing like a Netflix original movie for that cartoon. As if like that's gonna really help.
Yeah, it's like, where were you guys for that when the 2012 series was running? At least that show like cared about its property.
It screwed up some stuff, but for the most part, I give it a home run.
I give it an
A+ for effort. And
yes,
the action sequences are great.
Yeah,
you know, it had some shit.
What cartoon does it?
You know, even the original He-Man cartoon had some crummy episodes in it too. So no cartoon series can get away with having, you know,
a perfect run
episode. Yeah, it's just not going to happen because some guy decides, no, I want something silly in here, and no one thinks it's funny, but no one's going to know the difference when it airs.
Yeah,
but I hope NECA won't hold back on releasing Shredder, the Foot Soldiers.
Did you see the Karate Kid 2-pack set? Oh my god! You get the mat and the trophy and everything.
I thought to have and have like the poster of
yeah.
The All Valley Karate Tournament.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I even pre-ordered Daniel Miyagi and Johnny with the
skull makeup.
Yeah, I pre-ordered those because those are actually supposed to be coming out this month.
Where'd you pre-order them for those?
Big Bad Toy Store. Still waiting on that Karg. Thanks, guys.
You're still waiting on Karg?
Yeah. I don't know what's up with that. I imagine it's not their fault because anything else that I've pre-ordered from there, especially when it's like NECA-related stuff, when that drops, I get it when it's supposed to. I feel like this is more on Super 7's end of getting their stuff to them.
Well, knowing that the priorities are more about, we got to get another Prince Adam in the mix, you know, because someone there's really got a major hard on for Prince Adam. So
there you go. I pulled it out of Tyler a little bit. You guys can get like his hot take on the new announcement since he wasn't on Fans Power.
Yeah, well, I wasn't there for the meltdown reason, but that sure as hell didn't help.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but I hope NECA's hands are not tied because I'd like to think that the 7-inch turtles are going to do extremely well, and to not get even though it's a limited cast, but to not get Casey, Shredder, Splinter, hell, even give us Judith Hogue.
Well, that's that was one question I was going to ask her when we meet her. Just be like, NECA has started to really embrace this film and put out products. We got the Casey Jones mask. We got varying scale figures of the Turtles, Shredder, Foot Soldier. Have you been approached by NECA to use your likeness in figure form? Would that be something that you'd be interested in? Would you want like a figure of yourself from that film made? So that's
the hell could she not? As much as she embraces the film and the fans, like, nah, hell with that. Like,
yeah, no, really, well, that's the question I'm going to pose to her.
Yeah, but they're phenomenal figures. So I, if you just want one, at least GameStop gave the option you can pick whoever you want. You don't have to get all four. If all you want is just Don or Raph or Leo or Mikey only, and put on your shelf, you have that. I like that. No. $200. You got to buy them all.
Well, I think they're what, $20 a piece.
$22 a piece, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it might be cheaper in the store. Not sure.
Yeah, but I just it's good to know that something like that is sold as an option. You know, if you want all four, you can. If not, you know, because collecting this stuff, it's not cheap. People, I know there's some people who's got boxes showing up from Amazon and Entertainment Earth every single day with statues and busts and figures, like, and I wish I could do that too, but
yeah,
you know, so we kind of have to pick and choose. And I looked and saw the Alien versus Predator 2-pack of a Dutch and the girl from the arcade game got pushed back to April.
Yeah,
which I wasn't aware of that till today.
Yeah, I always get a little bit excited every time I go to Target now because I'm like, well, they have anything new out. I'm not gonna have anything new, but I got this guy in the mail.
Yeah,
he looks fantastic. Come on, focus on him a little bit. John Kreese. Yeah,
which I hope NECA like is gonna give us Kreese. I want a Chosen. I want a Terry Silver. I want a Mike Barnes.
You know, I did.
I want a full Cobra Kai. You know, elite. Give me all the cards. Give me Tommy, Bobby, Dutch, and Bobby. I mean, I want them all. And,
I think you said Bobby twice.
Okay, Bobby, Tommy, Dutch,
Bobby,
and yeah, I'll pull a Steinbrenner. See, Bobby and Tommy and Bobby and Bobby. Just yeah, just.
But that is from the 86 Rimco line. I do have a Miyagi, Johnny, and Daniel coming in the mail too. From the same seller, I believe, but they're in fantastic shape when I was looking at the pictures. So
they're a great figure line too, because you've got the tournament play set, and you've got Sato's Cannery, which is, and then you have like a ninja play set that kind of reminiscent of Karate Kid Part 2 almost.
I did come across a Sato at the antique stores that we go to, but he was missing everything, and he looked like someone and just rolled him around in dirt all day.
That was the only one I had as a kid. I got him at Rose's, and I don't know why I picked Sato.
$8. I'm like, no.
Yeah, for someone to just, you know, wipe their ass with it.
Yeah, I'll give you two. Now, I could probably be able to, like, clean it, but I'm like, no. I started looking at eBay prices. I'm like, I can get them with everything for less than 20. Why would I pay $8 for one that's been rolled in the dirt? And
you got to work to get it cleaned up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's an awesome action figure line. It's a shame that, you know, more hasn't been done, but hopefully with Cobra Kai being such a big hit and NECA is putting this stuff out. And I'm glad to see the clothing is not this big, bulky mess. That's why I've always hated the cloth clothing figures, because they always make the clothing so puffy. Like they're wearing a Gore-Tex jacket. Like, Freddy doesn't look cool on the shelf with this big puffy sweater.
Yeah. Oh, and also, any of you guys out there that are fans of the film Night of the Creeps, NECA teamed up with Shout Factory. Because they're coming out with a new collector's edition Blu-ray. But if you guys love Tom Atkins, they're coming out with the figure paired for it. I already pre-ordered that too. I have to have my own Tom Atkins action figure. Have to. Sweet man. He was awesome when I met him. Just very, there's some people that you meet at those conventions that are just as soon as you talk to them, you're just like embraced, and I wish more people Tom Savini.
Yeah, that was the first one that came to mind when you said that.
Would take that approach, because they are there to see you and they're paying you. The least you can do is be nice for 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, if they're being weird and awkward, then you know what, then all bets are off. But if they're just wanting to thank you for their work and ask you a quick trivial question, beat it, kid. You ain't a girl, you got a wiener.
Yeah,
you know, like Tom Savini did.
Speaking of conventions, though, it was kind of brought up on Facebook. Tyler, you're going to that Heroes Con, right, this year? Is that the name of it?
The one in Charlotte?
Yeah.
I hope to. That's what I would like to do, yes.
When is that?
Sometime in early June, I think. Okay. I don't know. I hadn't checked.
All right.
I hadn't memorized the date.
Right on. Well, I'm thinking if you go, I'll go with you this year. Maybe I'll take some of my comics and get them graded.
Because that's one thing I would like to do. I mean, I'm hoping there's at least one guest, because I went just to meet Mark Bagley and picked up a few books. But I would like to get some of my books graded. And I don't know if the Big Lit Comic Con that's going on right now in Roanoke, because it happens like twice a year, I don't know if they do grading there or not.
Yeah, that's actually today and tomorrow.
Yeah. I need to ask Kevin about that, or ask Brad. Who runs Funny Games, like their back stock or their vintage stuff, to ask him about that, because he always sets up.
Is Kevin at that one this weekend?
Not today. Like, I think he was at the last one. But
I know he said that he was going to be scaling back. Isn't it funny? This episode, by the way, we're going to be doing episode 2 of Spawn, but it's just kind of funny how we just started talking about everything else.
Well, it is all comic book related. Like, we're not talking, you know, politics and, you know, nonsense like that.
Yeah, sometimes we do. We haven't veered off in that territory. Yeah. I don't think we will this time. What else was I going to say? I was tempted to kind of go to that Big Lit Comic Con, but I figured I would go to it. I've heard
good stuff about it, but it is a comic book centric convention. Like,
yeah, they do. Sure, they do have a couple guests.
Yeah,
I think they pull one of the guys from Walking Dead. That seems to be their main go-to.
And that's always, they always pull some random person from Walking Dead show. Larry Hama was there the last one, which I was like, oh, you know, I wish I had gone to that one. I'm kind of curious. Facebook years ago.
I'm kind of curious about how crowded it is, because they actually have a hockey game going on tonight too, and I know that. The convention itself's not actually in the Civic Center. It's in the special events area, which is pretty big. I've gone when they've had some of their like flea markets kind of thing. They just have a shitload of vendors in there. Never find anything. Well, actually, I take that back. I did find an Atari 5200. I think I paid like $10 for it. Most of the, I think last time I went, there wasn't shit. There wasn't nothing. It's like baby clothes and crap I don't care about. Like, I'm done with it in 15 minutes. And I unfortunately went with my parents, who look at every single...
Oh, yeah. Bad move.
Every single thing. I think we were there about 3 hours, 15 minutes. 15 minutes, I was done. I was like, I'm going to go sit in the car, I guess. No, I brought my phone charger, so I just like plugged my phone in and just played on my phone for the next little while, looking up other shit on eBay. It's like, well, yeah.
I can't buy it here. I can buy it here on my phone though.
Yeah, they didn't have this here. Like I was expecting it or something. You know, why didn't they have this?
Again, that's become like the consensus with flea markets and conventions like that. People want to go and buy the pop culture 80s and 90s action figures and adult collectible stuff, and when you just show up and it's, you know, baby blankets with skid marks on it and stuff like that too, and
you know, and fucking shitty DVD movies
all about the Benjamins and full screen and Scooby-Doo Monsters Unleashed full screen. Yeah, that's what you're gonna find at, you know, your local yard sale.
Yeah, well, not only that, but there's also a lot of Prince and Me and all those shitty Hillary Duff movies.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Anne Hathaway movies, like, you know, Princess Diaries 4 and 5 or whatever.
There are a few things in the chat I do want to bring up really quick. Say hello first to Who Dat Whale, Febmon, and Delvis78. Thanks for popping in live. Who Dat Whale? Well, let me get to the thing that Febmon posed. You guys feeling better? Good health, mental or physical? Doesn't matter. How you feeling? I'm tired
because I have a new work schedule, so it's kicking my ass more and more each week. But mentally, like, I'm excited to do this. I mean, I really am, because doing these were really fun with Nathan. I will be back for Fans of Power tomorrow night, but I don't know for sure if it's like every night just yet. You know, it's kind of like I'm, you know, see how it play. I think Joe just kind of assumed, all right, he's back. I'm like,
he was doing that last week, and I was like, maybe. No, he'll be back next week. I was like, well, don't – come on, man.
Yeah, because he hit me up. So how about this? And I'm like, all right. And he didn't ask, you know, are you feeling any better? Do you think you might be all right? It was just, you know, here's the topics. So I will tell him tomorrow night. And I'm like, I'm doing tonight. But I can't guarantee that next Sunday is like, I just got to wait and see how I feel. Like, I just, you know.
Yeah, Joe's going to bug me all day about streaming video games. He already started because it's National Pizza Day. So he posted.
And what does that mean?
Well, he posted the picture of He-Man and Skeletor with pizza, but in the comments, he's like, hey, you're going to be streaming? You're going to get your pretzel crust pizza from Little Caesars? Because he tried it yesterday, and he said it was really good. And I was like, yeah, duh, I told you. So maybe. We'll see. Where was it? Yeah, Who Dat Whale asked if we have seen the DC Primal Age Series 2.
Yeah.
Who all's in...
It's Superman, Lex Luthor, Bizarro, Flash, Black Manta, Crypto.
Because I haven't seen them. Do they look cool?
I want Black Manta for sure. Lex Luthor. I actually like Superman. I like Superman better than Batman because I hate having Batman's eyes not being colored in with solid white or black. Like, I just don't like being able to see his actual eyes. But I like Superman. I definitely will get Black Manta because I have picked up Mr. Freeze and King Shark, you know, via Amazon. They're back in stock on Amazon, like,
oh, right,
back
on
at the cheap prices. So
yeah, Target had the end cap, and I saw figures on it once, and it's pretty much been blown out ever since. So
I do want to get Ace, the wolf, so I can put Clamp Champ on them, because they look great on the shelf with my vintage figures. Like, I got King Shark and Mr. Freeze along with Skeletor's gang. They fit in quite good, so I want to get Scarecrow to kind of round out my particular choices, and maybe Aquaman, and that's really about it. I like them a lot. I won't get all of them, but there are some I would very much like to get. So Wave 2 looks very promising. It looks pretty badass to me, I think.
Right on.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I think they look cool, but I to me, it's probably just not a line that I'm going to purchase. I know that sounds shitty, but I don't know.
No, it's... You know, I'm not getting all of them. I don't have a desire to.
I think if anything, I would probably veer more towards like Scarecrow, King Shark, those guys, the ones that like have like Batman. Honestly, I could give two fucks about Batman. Yeah. Me too.
The villain. I mean, those three: Mr. Freeze, Scarecrow, and King Shark. God, they look like they made their transition look flawless. Everybody else, it's a hard pill to swallow to buy a lot of those characters. Even though you see the cartoon intro and all that stuff, you know, would have been an interesting cartoon for sure. But to buy them, like from Nathan's perspective, I completely understand that. Yeah. So, but I do want Ace. The Batcave would be pretty cool to have to put on display too. But you know.
And the price point's actually good.
It's reasonable. I can't say it's, you know, it's not like Playmates charging like $100 for the Turtles playset.
No, yeah.
You know, but yeah, it looks pretty cool. And, you know, I've heard the Conan line's been pushed back again.
Great.
God knows why.
That sucks.
And I don't know when Thundercats Wave 2 is coming out either. So
we'll see how that goes. But, yeah. Shit, there we go, man. Toy talk. Tyler doesn't mind talking toys. It's just, honestly, with the Masters property, because there's more to it than that. I'm not going to get you back on that whole spiel again. We'll stop it there.
I was getting right.
No, I got you. But I'm just saying.
We didn't talk about ankle articulation or paint app bullshit.
Yeah.
Just, it looks cool. Move on.
And speaking of moving on, dude, let's go ahead and fire up episode 2 of Spawn. I'm digging this. I'm really liking it.
I am too.
I'm kicking so myself glad. In the ass that I've waited 20 years plus to finally sit down and start watching these, because fuck, man, it looks good. It looks fantastic. No wonder it won Emmys for outstanding whatever. Outstanding. Just like, yeah, do your research, asshole.
It's just outstanding. Well, you know what? It's you know,
fuck it, I'm gonna look it up now.
I mean, you know, we like I said, we don't never want to come off as just like two schlubs who just, we're doing a podcast, so therefore we can kind of say whatever we want and not, you know, just talk like, you know, we're just full of shit.
All right, here we go. Well, what the? Yeah, take me to the page where it doesn't have the shit listed. Thank you. That's awesome.
Nathan does know how to use the internet, people, here.
It's a computer.
Yeah.
It won the Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation, which
rightfully so.
Deserves wholeheartedly. Holy shit. Like, just what a.
And watching this too, just, I mean, I already knew this, but it just really hammers home the fact that all of our superhero stuff is just so pussified now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying Spider-Man and Batman have to have, you know, guts and gore and adult language, but you just kind of feel like not everything's got to make, just cut. Let's go by and just castrate every superhero that's out there. You know, it just makes me crazy that, you know what, it's not like the old Christopher Nolan brooding bullshit either. This is the material that Todd McFarlane put out. It's not altered or tweaked or changed. It's, this is it. You know?
Yeah.
And everybody's got to come along with their agenda of like, I don't like this, so let's change this. And let's change this for transition. Let's change that.
Also, let's get back into that position of the Black Panther film being the first black superhero. Sorry, guys, it's not. It's not. Blade, Spawn, Black Dynamite. You know, like, I'm sorry. It's funny that they want to just ignore
it. Wasn't that good, people?
They just want to, and it wasn't. It really was. It was very generic, honestly. Yeah. How
it
the hell
some
is
good
it?
Moments, but I had no desire to revisit the film.
No,
honestly.
No, I was done with it. I was like, all right, yep, it was another Marvel film.
Yeah.
Next. I mean, Ant-Man and the Wasp is on Netflix. I'll probably give that a watch because I did enjoy Ant-Man. I honestly liked Ant-Man more than Black Panther. There you go. Sorry if someone's like, what? How could you? It's nominated for best. But no, I had more fun with Ant-Man. Sorry. Well, you don't. Is it because he's black? No, it was just a generic fucking movie. Like most of the Marvel films have turned into, honestly. Infinity War was just a hodgepodge of like, hey, look at those guys. You remember those guys, right? Yeah. They had a movie. They're in this one. Isn't it cool?
Yeah. And don't you just love how
And it's not bad. It wasn't a bad film.
Yeah, it was.
But,
it was a bad film.
Well, to me, it wasn't a bad film, but it was just, it was there. I was like, okay, I was done. I didn't feel anything when it ended. I know some people were like, oh my God, and Thanos did this. And they're all gone.
I'm bad for the villains now. We don't have assholes in movies anymore. No, we have complicated characters. You know, there's no more, you know, heroes and villains. It's all people who have had tragedies in their lives. You know, go to hell.
Yeah. Well, JSP even says Black Panther wasn't even considered the best Marvel movie last year. There we go. It's all just agenda based and it's horseshit. And I hate the fact that they're like, this is the first black superhero movie. It's not. Let's cut that shit out, man. Seriously.
And Black Panther is a fantastic comic book character. And unfortunately, and Chadwick Boseman played him a hell of a lot better in Civil War.
Yeah.
And they give him his own movie. The movie's, you know, the character's not given any kind of decent treatment. Same thing with Spider-Man. Tom Holland was a phenomenal Spider-Man. Give him his own movie. It's shit.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, props to the director of Black Panther, Ryan Coogler, because Creed was awesome. Actually, the digital version, digital Creed 2 is going to be coming out this week, a whole month before Blu-ray. And I'm not going to lie, I am tempted to just buy the digital just so I can watch it now.
Well, that will probably be the next first movie in a long time that I will just go out and buy.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not gonna. I'm just. I feel like I'm gonna like it. You know.
Holy shit!
What?
Nothing. I'm just. We've almost. We're going. We've been going like a good 40, 50 minutes. We haven't even started the episode that this whole thing is.
I guess we just
is,
had a lot to vent and just kind.
We
of
had a lot to say.
Discuss. Me and Nathan even talked for like 20, 30 minutes before we even, you know, started it up. Also.
Yeah, and. I guess we should also specify, it's probably the reason that we're saying so much stuff. There will not be a Beyond Retro podcast tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because we're still spacing shit out and we need to kind of like waver this and balance it all out. So we'll probably get back into a regular-esque sort of schedule. I'm kind of getting some ideas in my mind that I'll run across you after we're done.
I mean, I still want to do Temple of Doom. That was the proposed, which I carry a big flag for that film. So I definitely want to do it. It's just the lack of motivation because it's, yeah, I'm like with Nathan too, man. You break it down. We devote a lot of our free time to doing these discussions and they can go on for two and a half hours. And then we talk afterwards. We talk beforehand. It's you know, of course, we're all friends. We love talking to each other, but it takes time to do these things. And when our weekends fly by, as hard as me and Nathan work, it's just like you just kind of feel like, wow, you know.
Wouldn't it be
nice to have a little extra time on the weekends?
Yeah, there was, oh, man, a few times that I felt it. It's like Monday, I'm sitting there. It's like, fuck, where'd the weekend go? Yeah. Son of a bitch, yeah. But I don't know, like I get in those moods and I think it's easier for me to stream the video games sometimes than to sit down and have a round table discussion on a film. I don't know why, but it just is.
No, I completely understand that too. It's, you know, round tables are more time consuming too, you know?
Yeah. And plus when I'm streaming 9 times out of 10, I'm getting drunk. So.
It has its benefits.
Yeah. All right. Let's let's finally get into this. I'm sure people are just like, what the fuck, guys? Like, just watch the episode and talk about that already. Stop.
Do we ever get anybody say that?
No. I mean, No. Honestly, I've gotten a lot of feedback on it's fun just hearing you guys talk about whatever. It doesn't matter to me. It's like, yeah, here's the main like thing. But when you guys are talking about other stuff too, it's nice that we just get opinions on other things. And I don't know. They said the conversation just flows really well.
Well, that's
doesn't good, feel yeah. stilted or like we're reading off of cue cards. Like
no, because God knows there's plenty of podcasts festing. You know,
yeah, I can think of a couple right off the top of the head that it's just like, are you guys reading from a piece of paper?
Rough, you know, the sweaty print on your hand. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not professional, but we acted.
Do we? Do we though?
Well, this is what people want from, like, you know, when I hear, like, you know, listen to like Dan Lebatard or Tell Them See Dave, the fun kind of random conversations that will pop up on this podcast. Sometimes that's some of the best stuff because it's just them being people and talking about certain, you know, things, and it's pretty interesting. You know?
Did I tell the story about the guy that I worked with? He goes to the methadone clinic every week because that shit's supposed to wean you off of heroin, and yet he just goes and gets it every week. And he's got a lisp. Did I tell you about the time that he shit his pants when he was a kid? Can I tell that story? I've been wanting to tell this story.
I don't know who you're talking about, but he shit his pants.
Yeah. We'll leave his name anonymous just in case this turns up anywhere and someone listens to it. It's like, oh,
do
I know.
Do you work with this person?
I did. And then like he moved different departments. So I only see him on occasion, you know, when he comes into our apartment to talk. When he walks into our department to tell one of the girls that all the guys like Google every day, and he's all the drugs he did, like, fucked up with his teeth. So when I do the lisp, there's no harm, like, I'm not making fun of people with lisp, I'm just trying to accurately portray how he talks. But he'll come over there and just be like, you thiffy, hey, you thiffy. Anyway,
so can you say that with, like, you know, I fit my pants?
No, we'll get into the story. Okay. So somehow we did get on the conversation of podcasts and things. I don't know how it happened. I don't remember. But I said, yeah, you know, I do this one. I help these guys out with this other show. It's about He-Man. And, like, he perked up a little bit because he's how old is he? I think he's, like, 42.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably hitting a stride of like being, you know, kind of young kid when Masters is reaching its popularity. I want to say he was about eight or nine. He didn't really specify the age, but he said he was like in elementary school. And he said that he had to fart real bad. And he turned around to the girl behind him. He's like, I got to fart real bad. And she was like, do it. So I did, and then I shit my pants, and I had to get up and tell the I had to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, I took my underwear because he was wearing He-Man underwears. That's how this whole thing happened.
He shit all over He-Man.
Yeah, he's like, I was wearing my He-Man underwears. And I'm trying to rinse them out, and the teacher comes in there, and she cleans them up, but then she hangs them up in the classroom so everybody can see it.
It's not like Dusty Rhodes is
again. Yeah. I started thinking about it. I'm like, when I do it, it's kind of like a Dusty Rhodes impression in a way.
Jim, this is baby. This is Jimmy. This is Jim, baby. I got an idea here.
Yeah.
Little kid here. Shit his hand.
The pay window.
I hit you with the bottom elbow, baby.
But yeah, it was just random. I'm like, thanks, Carson. Oh, shit. There's his name, by the way. Sorry, my bad.
I thought he was like Carson, like, you know, Carson. Carson, yeah. I deal with.
No,
Carson shit his pants.
Yeah, he shit his pants when he was a kid. But it was just funny the way he was telling his story. Yeah, I couldn't help but laugh. It's just like the way.
What a story to bring! I'll let you. So because we're talking about a He-Man podcast, like, yeah, I hit He-Man underwear and I pooped my pants. And
yeah, I was gonna tell that story on fans, but I figured I'd tell it. Tell it on here retro one day. But yeah, I don't know. It pops into my head because he just comes over there all the time. Hey, you thiffy. You could be a model. Be a model. You thiffy.
Is he? He's not talking to you now, is he?
No. He's talking to the girl that's over there that just, like, I shit you not, like, every dude that walks past there break their neck to, like, look at her. It's
a lot of funny. Whiplash going on in there.
Yeah.
There's a He-Man reference for you.
There you go. All right, shit. We said this about 10 minutes ago.
This is the third time of attempting to start what we intended to do here.
I'm having fun.
I am too. So
let's enjoy all it. Right. Without further ado, we want to specify if you guys got your DVD set of this, pop that in. If you are an Amazon Prime member as of this recording, it is free to watch on Amazon Prime Video. So give that a search. Episode 2, pop that up, and Tyler, give us that countdown, and we'll get it going.
3, 2, 1, action.
So Todd McFarlane gives an intro every episode, right?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know if this was the thing that's like the first few, and then after that he sort of stops and it just goes right on into the show.
Season 1 right now. Like, I'm still working my way through it. have any intention of just kind of sitting down. Like, I took some time on Thursday to watch episode 2 and 3, and then I was like, I have to go to sleep because I had such a long day. But I was like, I'm not waiting until Friday to watch, and I really just wanted to soak in more. And what was cool for me is that Nathan was just telling me how much he was loving watching the show, and it's just, I mean, re-energizing his passion for Spawn. And I just thought, like, that's why I wanted to do this podcast. Like, if it ain't working for anybody else, I'm glad it's working for Nathan. Like, when we do these commentaries, I want people to get excited and, you know, seek out merchandise or the episodes or buy the DVDs or go look for a certain character on eBay to buy or a t-shirt with it on there.
And something. And Spawn figures are cheap, so hell yeah.
Some are.
Most are, I feel like.
Because I was looking for, you know, going back, and I was like, I had him. But I would like to get just one clean-cut, nice-looking Spawn figure. And those tend to be the more harder and more expensive ones to find. Just Spawn as Spawn in some kick-ass pose. And I found a couple I'm eyeballing that, if I can talk myself into pulling the trigger.
There's a few that I'm actually watching, too. So we're getting a recap here of what happened in episode 1 of Al Simmons figuring out, or starting to figure out, like, just exactly what the hell's going on. What the hell's going on?
Yeah. Pulling a little crap in back. And I love how this, and I think this was one of the reasons why I didn't take to it as a kid, because it's a slow burn. It takes its time to build up because it's meant for adults. It's not meant for kids. Kids are more used to more frequent action beats, and I'm glad they didn't cut this down to play it to children, because it's not meant for kids, damn it. So I like that. And watching this, you know, the next episode continues on the...
I don't know why McFarlane keeps telling me to turn the lights off, though.
It's like he's trying to play it up, you know, the horror aspect. I think he's, you know...
Cause well, it's really scary.
Yeah. It made me think of the werewolf TV shows on Fox from 1987. Because, like, when you would see the promos for it, they would tell you to turn the lights off.
I did like the bit that he said at the beginning, that how there's a little bit of good and evil, and a little bit of evil and good kind of thing. And I can't
find a bit of good in clown.
No, I'm saying, like, people in general. Like, even good people have a little bit of evil in them.
Yeah. In terms of, like, yeah, that statement about people, and not the characters in the show, but people in general. Yeah. Yeah. I would not argue that at all. But, and we'll get to see the first appearance, which this
Phil and Lil.
Yeah. Which I recognize that voice right off, but seeing, and I have not revisited the early books in so long. And I cannot remember if this particular child killer, which, you know,
yeah, this is pretty fucked up at the beginning.
Yeah, it's very messed up. And to see that, you know, which is this, I imagine this has got to be right out of the comic books. And, like, forgive me, Spawn readers who've been faithful and stuck with it for so long. But it's very, very creepy. I mean,
and I can't think of the actor's name, but he actually looks like the villain from Darkman,
Larry Drake.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you see Larry Drake playing that part. Yeah. But I love the imagery of the madness that Al's going through here.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing, well, you know.
And that's one of the strengths of the show. You notice at the beginning where it's all light and everything, like, it doesn't pop as much. But everything else with the shadows and the darkness, it's illustrated and animated so well.
And that's right out of the comic books. If you pick up any of the comic books, especially the early one, well, hell, any of them, issue number 56 or whatever, you know, the tone and look of it, it's everything's lit with a lot of shadows, and that helps sell the aspects of the show. The element of the show is that it's darkness. It's not, but it help. It's, I don't feel like it's too much or anything like that. I think it's, you know, I had this image of seeing a teddy bear. This guy just dumped a body. You know, which obviously was the ice cream man, of course, but just implying what happened. I mean, that's because, you know, unfortunately, child abduction is something that may never ever go away, which is extremely scary. Same thing with kidnapping in general. Of you know, men and women. I mean, it's a scary thought. And so when you see a character like Spawn, you know, you would love to enact vengeance on somebody that would bring harm to, you know, something as innocent as a young child. I mean, you would not hit, you know, of course, in prison, people who do things to children, yeah, often get their asses kicked pretty quick, if not buried 6 feet under with their first day in there, and rightfully so. It was quite unsettling, you know, to see this, but it's, you know, it's, I
well, just the fact that he's just like, oh no, not another one.
Yeah.
You know, like, fuck. Yeah, Keith David, man. Please come to a convention near us. Please. Yeah.
I mean, that was something I would fork over a few hundred dollars if I could spend at least a solid hour uninterrupted sitting down at a table. I'd pay $200-$400 in advance to guarantee an hour to sit down with Keith David and ask him about the variety of his career. Because he gets a lot of work based on his voice. He's done a lot of voiceover work, you know, for all those like Army commercials, you know, with a few of the Proud and the Marines. Like, make sure I'll join the Marines just because Keith David made it sound cool.
Oh, wait, no, I don't want to do it anymore because they're playing a Three Doors Down song.
Yeah.
Three Doors Down fucking sucks.
I mean, anything that's played up, you know, mainstream, like, no, Keith David, that's your selling point. And I was so pissed off when they cast him to play the voice of Barricade in the first Transformers movie, but you can't tell it's him because they altered his damn voice. Like, who alters Keith David's voice? Well, apparently Michael Bay thought it was a good idea. You know? But
I like this right here where all the hobos are, you know, trying to be like, yeah, we need to kick him out of here. And he ends up proving his worth here in about, I don't know, 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's just makes sense, and showing where how Spawn just kind of lingers in the alleys, like he says that I have nowhere else to go, you know. In the comic books too, the homeless society, you know, they embrace him and he embraces them, and you know, they become family essentially, that's what he's like, stay out of the alleys. And it's just fun to see that kind of camaraderie built up gradually, and that, you know, they don't know what he is. And of course, you know, living in such rough areas, you wouldn't be quick to think that he's something supernatural. You just kind of think, you don't know what he is. But, you know, in this world too, you kind of led to believe stuff like that doesn't exist, because just like they always said about the devil, like the greatest trick he ever played on mankind was making man believe he didn't exist. I kind of feel like that's what plays into a position with this mythology, is that, you know, good or evil is not really aware of the ramifications of what you do. You know, like Malbolgia is waiting for you when you commit, you know, unbelievable sins. And, you know, God himself is waiting on you when you head up the other way. Not trying to get too religious for people who are not, but
well, I mean, that's the tone of the show.
Religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I'm not getting on my soapbox about religion. This is part of the show. So, and seeing, you know, headshots like this, and it's not overly focused on. Like, you see it, it's there. And some of the stuff's done in silhouette, and
that's one of my favorite things is how those are done. Like with that one, you saw it in the reflection of his glasses.
Yeah.
Smart turds, big eyes.
Yeah, and it's a mixed batch of dialogue. Like I know since it's good to see, you know, animation use a lot of language, but they don't go overboard with it because they can. Like they keep it a nice mix of, you know, instead of saying, oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's a good shot.
God, that was awesome. And the waving capes and whipping that chain. I wish I could whip a chain around like that. I try it at the gym tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah, some guy won't get the hell off the equipment. And it just, or comes over and takes it from somebody else. I'm about to take your head off and just whip the predator chain, that sound effect that it makes. Spawn with guns too. That's something too. It's very easy to feel like, why would he need a gun? But God, it looks awesome when he uses a gun, because he is a former assassin.
So. And this is a cool part. He didn't kill him. He's gonna throw him back in the car and be like, you. Tell him to stay the fuck out of here. God.
So badass. I mean, it just makes me want to see other great superheroes. Can you imagine a Batman cartoon done like this? You know, Daredevil, Punisher, shows that need to be animated with an edge, you know? I mean, just to have Batman portrayed with this kind of aggression, you know, not killing people, but he will break bones and put you in the hospital to get his point across and things like that. I mean, it's a shame that this kind of outlook on superheroes is just, well, if it's radar, it's got to be like Deadpool, which means funny. Just because it doesn't, I'd say Deadpool's probably one of the reasons why everything's pushed towards humor too. Not all of it, but I'm sure he's. And then we got some nice nudity thrown at us right there. It's not heavily focused on, yeah.
Mm.
But I like that because this is what you would see Tony Twist doing. He's got naked women around him all the time. He's a fat greaseball. You know, people like that have always got beautiful women around them, you know, but because later, like in episode 3, when we see Chapel, which I figured like that's a character that when Nathan said he was like really looking to buy in figures, like I figure after seeing Overkill and Chapel in action, Nathan's like, I want an Overkill and Chapel figure.
I'm just going to buy them all.
Yeah. Cause Chapel's pretty badass, but, and I like seeing this too, and of course seeing that Wanda's dealing with another child killer slash molester too. That's some messed up stuff. And I like seeing their life, which you see that in the comics too. You know, I do remember some things from the comics, and you do get a sense of their life, you know, because Al's always peeking in on it at times, and you know,
yeah, well,
he does come in contact with Terry eventually about it.
Well, you got to think too. You don't think about it much, but just imagine being like a defense attorney for like a murderer and like a kid killer and a rapist and everything. Like, how can you defend that? And I don't know. That would just thinking about that makes me want to just kind of throw up a little bit because I would hate like just being associated with that person. It would almost make me hate myself.
Yeah, especially if they're claiming not guilty.
But it is your job. But I don't know. It's just do those guys have a moral code? Like, if you're defending this and clearly you know that they're probably guilty, even though it's your job to prove that they're not, I don't know. That's like that sucks. I would hate that so much.
I mean, unfortunately, you got a lot of people who are just, you know, they take advantage of – they take great pride in being able to – get sleaze off from extremely high charges. But yeah, it's one of those things that everyone's entitled to, you know, due process and such. And, it's like, look, I'm here defending you. And, you know, all I can do is try to get your charges, you know, dropped a little bit. You'll still serve time for many years, but it won't be life or something like that. Like that's, I feel like even though you feel like, why the hell should anybody defend this guy? So I feel like that's all you can do. Like, you're not trying to get him off the charges. You're just trying to minimize the time served or something like that. So,
and we have when
I think it's Ronnie Cox playing the voice of the senator here, I think.
Yeah, blackmailing him into running for president, essentially.
I like how they make references to real life incidents, you know, kind of tying this all into the real world.
Yeah.
I mean, this could be a Netflix or like a series, like mini series too. Like,
I'm surprised that Netflix hasn't brought it back.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, they could do one season of just Spawn, Jason Wynn, Clown slash Violator, and him coming to terms with Wanda and Terry. And talking, and then before you even bring in characters like Tremor, Overkill, Chapel, The Curse, The Freak, Cygor, Angela, Tiffany, like one season alone, you could get 10 episodes of just Spawn in the alleys, like cutting back between Sam and Twitch. I love shots like that. I'm always a fan of superheroes hanging around on crosses on cathedrals. I just think that's one of the most iconic kick-ass.
Yeah, there's something about cathedrals and like gargoyles and shit.
Yeah. It's very imposing. It just adds an extra level of, you know what? I'm badass because I'm hanging out across. Like, I would, it would just be so cool to, like, do a photo op around a cross like that. And I love these segments with Sam and Twitch. They're a lot of fun. You know, they're serious cops, but there's that
dry humor to them.
Yeah, but they're not trying to be funny. It's just, you know, focusing on Sam's bad habits. And how they don't stop and laugh. It's just kind of like they're not trying to be funny. They're just kind of playing off their personalities.
I feel like they've seen enough shit in their day that it's just like
nothing phases them.
Yeah.
That's why Twitch is just kind of emotionless and just kind of like robotic. But that's the character. You know, and Sam, you know, relies on constant stimulation from cigarettes and coffee and donuts. I mean, he just needs stigmas left and right. More and more and more.
Oral fixation.
Yes, yeah. But it makes for an interesting crime drama. And I want to say, I can't remember, Sam and Twitch had their own comic book for a brief period, too.
I'm sure they did.
Because there were a few spinoff books, like there was the Hellspawn book. I'm pretty certain Sam and Twitch did get their own book for a brief time. Because, you know, Spawn was insanely popular, as we talked about in the last episode, that this was from video games and the original action figure line.
Maybe I'll Burke that fat bastard. I'll play maybe I'll play the Super Nintendo Spawn game if I stream tonight. I'll start off with that or something.
Yeah, I was curious to play that as a kid because I remember seeing ads for it and I thought it looked cool, but I was like,
I bet the game's gonna suck.
Yeah, it's like probably like playing like Maximum Carnage or Separation Anxiety. Those two Spider-Man games that I was not too fond of.
But there you go. There's another cathedral shot.
Yeah, that's just.
Excuse me.
I mean, yeah, it's not got the burps. Have that. Yeah, drove on over here. Here's Overkill.
Awesome voice, by the way. Yeah, very. Cool. I love it.
And I was associating him with my first impressions of Spawn because his image I would see it quite a bit from issue 3 or 4. Or 5. It's one of the first early issues where he appeared. And he was one of the first action figures that was made, too. So I always associate him with Spawn in general, too. Like, some of the others, I kind of had to seek out. But as a kid, when the comic was on the scene and the toys were out, he's kind of goes hand in hand with Spawn to me, just like Clown.
I really love his voice.
Yeah, it's badass. And he kind of felt like, does this character kind of feel like it's out of element when you're dealing with kind of real world, but we're dealing with supernatural elements, we're dealing with heaven and hell, even though we're dealing with kind of real world issues and situations, having the guy made out of cybernetic parts, yeah.
Sorry, I love that line in this episode where he's like, I'm keeping the heart for myself, and he said, what for, dinner?
Yeah.
It's just, shit, man. Gross, but it's awesome.
Yeah. That's a villain for you. And, you know, I always enjoyed these moments, but, you know, and of course you're expecting him to kill this kitty, but it's just funny. He just throws it off to the side.
Yeah.
You know, but I
that's one of the cool parts of it, just how he antagonizes.
Yeah. He's there to bust his balls because he enjoys, you know.
And there goes the cat.
Ah! Which it's so quick and not focused on because it keeps the scene going, but I that's what makes it funny. And yeah, I hope this is something, you know, because I trust. Yeah, now that
he's looking at the picture of Wanda fondling himself. Yeah. Baby's got back.
Yeah, I thought that was an excellent, you know, I could totally see Danny DeVito doing this.
And he wipes his hands on his fucking cape. Jesus. I missed that last night, actually. I missed him doing that.
Oh, you didn't catch that? And then pissing on the fire down below.
Yeah, I caught the...
Yeah, I mean, they're giving him so much to do within, like, 2 minutes. He's stealing every moment, you know, and just... I mean, of course, when you're watching this, you're waiting for the inevitable, you know, him turning into Violator, you know, which, you know, is mind-blowing when we see it. But I really hope this is one of the things that McFarlane really pushes in the new Spawn film, which, you know, it's almost kind of even hard. Is it really going to happen? You know, just because you feel like you've heard about it, even though it's cast and they're working on it and everything. But I hope this becomes one of the backbone things about that film is, well, what we're getting ready to see here. You know, not just Violator, but the constant ball busting of Clown towards Spawn. And this episode packs in a lot in one episode with Overkill, Clown, and Violator here. Oh, boy. Absolutely glorious.
Yeah.
Bloody and glorious.
And a good voice, too.
Yes. I remember I was such a fan of the mythology and stuff. I drew a picture of and it was one out of one of the Spawn books. I had a Violator holding a heart above his mouth, getting ready to drop in his mouth. And I drew that, and I've still got it too.
You have to show that on the show.
Yeah, because me and my brother were really big in the drawing Spawn in the summer of '97. I mean, or yeah, and we were just it was I just couldn't get enough of drawing Spawn characters. It was so much fun. My friend Zach Connor really got into Spawn in fifth grade. I mean, he had toys, the comics. I mean, he was really pushing for Spawn. It was Spawn and X-Men for him. And I just don't think my mind was ready to kind of grasp the content of Spawn. Plus, when you catch it like half, you know, deep into the run, you kind of feel like, what the hell's going on? I don't understand any of this. All this is lit in red in this cathedral. Yeah. Fights in churches, dude. There's something very epic about that. You know, that's you know, it's like Bullseye and Daredevil, Arnold and the Devil in End of Days. You know, it's a lot of, it makes for a great battleground. Yeah, and this is something that must not be shortchanged in the new Spawn film. Like, we need to see, and at least the 97 Spawn film, they kept the character list small. It was Clown, Violator, Jason Wynn, Al, Terry, Wanda, Cagliostro, and that's really about it. You had a cameo of Angela. Priest was in it, but they kept it small and minimal. And I think this new Spawn movie, it needs Sam and Twitch. I feel like you need to have a Spawn movie with Sam and Twitch. I keep on talking like positive about this, but watching this, yes, Spawn does deserve to have a great film, but you kind of feel like, is it going to happen? You know?
Yeah. I need to. That's the thing, too. It's made me want to go back and revisit the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's something we could possibly do on the podcast. I mean, it has good points. It's definitely not going to be, you know, I don't know, since neither of us have watched it with, you know, adult eyes. But, you know, I'm not opposed to checking it out. Just to see, I mean, and I do remember a lot about that film, but and Nathan may end up getting a John Leguizamo Clown figure before it's all over.
It actually looks good. I've looked.
It looks good. It's the movie figures were spot on. God, they look good, and they were so hard to find when they came out. All those adult collectors going around snatching them so they can sell them in the comic stores. $50.
Not much has changed.
Nope. But the movie figures are all, I've come across a couple of them at reasonable prices.
We're going to buy them all.
I wouldn't mind having a few, that's for sure.
But I like, here we are, episode 2, and it's still just revealing more of itself.
Yeah. And, you know, as an adult and a comic book fan, if you were reading the comics at the time and you weren't, you know, under 10 years old, or maybe if you were and you understood a lot better than I did, you know, to watch this, I'm assuming once a week, and you're only getting bits, a little bit here, a little bit there. I mean, it's definitely, it takes its time. And I think that was so ballsy then to do that with this. And of course, it ran for four seasons.
Three
seasons. Okay.
Three seasons. Oddly enough, six episodes a season, so you get 666. That's probably done on purpose.
Yeah, probably so.
I feel like they had all 18 in the can, and they just decided to split it up that way.
Probably so, yeah.
Makes it look cooler. But anyway, that is episode two, Evil Intent. I almost...
you want to do episode three next week?
I almost feel tempted to just do something we've never done before and just keep going.
Well, you know what? I'm for it. Let's do episode three. Well, Overkill shows up to fight Spawn and we get Chapel for the first time. So I'm not opposed to doing that.
All right.
Not at all.
So there you go. Boom. Done. By that point, I'll be like
this massive box of Spawn toys showing up on his doorstep on Friday.
Yeah, there's actually a lot that's on there that I was looking at. I'm like, man, that's really cheap.
I want you to look up Spawn Rebirth and the Art of Spawn figures.
Okay, that's really expensive.
No, well, they're not cheap, but if you can find them, which there's a couple I'm eyeballing, you know, the Art of Spawn is like reminiscent. It's trying to recreate the covers. And then the Spawn Rebirth, there's a few of those. And there's one of Spawn, classic-looking Spawn, with two massive machine guns in each hand. And he's just standing straight up. The cape's prominent, holding one massive gun in here, holding one down here, standing nice, straight, straight posture. And then the Art of Spawn is like him crouched down like this with his hand like this on the ground. I mean, it's badass. I mean, super badass. They've done like one of him and Cygor together to recreate. I forgot what, because I had that issue. Trimmer. I mean, just all kinds of kick ass stuff. So, and then Al Simmons, which I showed Nathan that.
Yeah. No, it looks cool. So, I know that Iceman Traveler will probably end up he'll be checking these out because he's been with Spawn since the beginning. And I never understood it back then. Sometimes I would make fun of him for it, honestly.
And Nathan made fun of me for liking He-Man and basketball and some stuff that he has come around to have some of appreciated.
Stuff that I liked, but I always I got to give him shit for it. I don't know why. It's just something I did. But Iceman Traveler, I'm going to tell you right here, right now, I apologize for that because this shit's awesome. And I'm kicking myself that I didn't appreciate it back then as much as I do now, but that,
you know what, you need to pull out that Spawn issue one that your dad.
I have those first, I think like first 12, 13. Well,
then you got Overkill's first appearance then.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to go and see what all I got.
Yeah. And get maybe a couple of maybe friends from Michael's and put them up on display.
Yeah. Shit. Where there ain't anywhere.
Emma's got a lot of free space over there on her side of the wall.
Yeah, we'll just take all her shit down. This is mine now. Yeah. But no, as Tyler said, the beauty of this, especially here with Spawn, is watching things for the first time sometimes and just watching it with new eyes with some of the stuff I've seen before and just what it does to me. And I hope that you guys do get that out of this show, that it does make you want to check out more of it or look up the toys, as Tyler said, and blow all your money.
We're doing this to keep awareness alive, much like the Fans of Power. It's just, I have this passion for this stuff. I want Nathan to be excited about, which he has been. I mean, with him going out and buying Rambo toys and, picking up various things and wanting to, it just kind of piques an interest with him. Like, that's why I wanted to do this with him. And I hope people get that, even if we don't hear about it, if you just decide to pull out your phone and start looking up Spawn figures or Rambo figures or, Batman the Animated Series animation cells. I don't care. Just if we're doing what we set out to do, which is to just get people excited about, just because it's in the past doesn't mean it needs to be forgotten. And I think it deserves to be revisited and kept alive, not just when someone says, hey, here's a comic book resources top 10 forgotten cartoons of the 90s. Or look, here's Looper's top 10 hard, edgy animated shows of the 90s and era. Just some like top 10 bullshit. Where they're not really.
There are a top 10, a shitload of top 10 lists on YouTube. Yeah.
And most of them are not that intelligent. Yeah. They're just, some douchebag who just got, here, throw this out there. And he comes up with all his witty, you guys didn't do much research for this at all, did you? Some of us just kind of being very cliche about it. Like, you didn't put any thought into this. Well, they're sitting there fondling themselves like Clown was while he's typing it up with the other hand.
We do have a couple of requests that I'll run past you. First, your favorite Blockhead. He's asking, where's the Batman 66 review, the movie? We'll get to that. It's going to happen. We just, you know, maybe.
Yeah, we're on the spot. Well, the biggest thing that held us back because with Nathan's work schedule, but with things have loosened up and we got really into doing Spawn here, that's still, you know.
We'll do it soon. Happen.
Yeah,
we'll do it.
That's not.
Because it needs to. That'd be awesome to do a commentary for that. And also, a little bit of a strange request because they're even like, yeah, I know what I'm requesting, but follow that bird, the Big Bird Sesame Street movie.
What?
Big Bird. Yeah, there was a movie, Follow That Bird.
Oh, what about it? I wasn't even aware of it, but what's the...
Oh, really? Let's see. When did that come out? Let's look it up on the old Google. Yeah, it came out in 85. Sesame Street presents Follow That Bird. Big Bird loves spending his days on Sesame Street. However, social worker Miss Finch feels a Big Bird should live in an environment with only the bird like himself. I heard it was really good. I probably watched it when I was a kid, but I can't recall it. Maybe? I don't know.
What's the question? Like, someone wants to know if we saw it? Is that...
Oh, it was like a challenge or a request if we would ever do an episode on that one day.
No.
I'll leave the door open. I'll leave the door open for it.
Well, you can do a solo commentary.
I'm sure Joe's seen it. Joe probably saw it in theaters.
I like Sesame Street. I love all the characters on it, with Big Bird and Grover and everybody. But, I never watched any of the movies or anything like that. I watched the show sparingly as a kid. But, you know, I watched my Super Grover Golden Book VHS tape quite a bit as a kid. But, I'm just going to be up front. I'm not interested in doing a Sesame Street commentary. I'm sorry. Whether it was a joke or not, I'm like, no, thank you. I want to maintain the balls big enough to come in a dump truck. That is the mission statement for this podcast. And I would love to do. You know, Muppet Babies is one of my favorite like children cartoons, not action cartoons, but I love Muppet Babies. I don't know if I could sit down with Nathan and do a commentary on Muppet Babies though. But
you never know. You never know. Maybe we'll just swerve off and do something weird that.
Most of those episodes are on YouTube to watch too, like unedited also. So, they're funny too. Like I would tell anybody. I just don't know if I would want to do commentary for. I don't know. I just kind of feel like I like doing my action cartoon commentaries. I don't know if I want to do. I mean, if that were the case, we'd have to do commentary for, you know, some of the Nicktoons, like Doug and Our Monsters.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. Hey, guys, what's cooking?
Yeah, which that would be.
This is stupid.
Who said that?
It's at the end of that episode where Doug gains weight and no one's getting into the pool.
Yeah.
And, you know.
He calls himself Ronald Weisenheimer. And then
Skeeter fucking copycatting him and shit.
I'm Ronald Weisenheimer Jr. Yeah. And Patty's like, I'm Ronda Weisenheimer. And I kind of roll my eyes at that as a kid. I'm like, that's just kind of dorky, but, you know. Yeah. But I found the episode very relatable, even though I wasn't, you know, a fat kid or anything like that. But, you know, you are, you know, you get a little bit older. You do kind of become aware of being self-conscious about these kinds of things when you're in, you know, a swimming pool setting, stuff like that. So that's why I felt like I found that very relatable. And that's why the Doug cartoon, I'm quite shocked that cartoon is not more celebrated.
Seriously.
Because of, it's, and I've always wanted to know if, you know, cause I know Nathan likes to, you know, give me grief about my thought process about a lot of that stuff. But when Doug would fantasize about certain situations, I would do that. Even if it was the most extreme situations, like, when he has to go to a Principal Buttsavage's office, he thinks it's going to be like the wizard from the Wizard of Oz, you know, screaming and yelling at him, like a big flaming head. That's how my mind would think.
I've done that before.
Well, no, when Skeeter says, "Hey guys, he's going to go for the big score," and everyone gathers around Doug while he's playing Dino.
Oh, I know that you
Dino Driver.
I know that you fantasize about that part of it. Yeah, you're like, I'm going to get the girl.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. But, I feel like that's a cartoon. We may have to break kayfabe and
break kayfabe.
and celebrate Doug. Because
the Disney Doug sucked. I so hard.
I think I looked at it and like, I hate the new look. I hate the voices.
It sucked. It sucked. Yeah. Fuck you, Disney. Yeah. Ruin everything.
They screw up everything. They ruined Star Wars. They continue to ruin Marvel. Just so they can have people walk around in their damn theme park. Yeah. And that is it.
Yeah. Anyway, with that said, dude, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Yeah, we won't give any final thoughts on Spawn because, I mean, obviously we're doing it next week. By this point, you know what we're doing. But, yeah, we'll get to Batman 66. We'll figure out some stuff.
Doug. Those are the two requests, the Big Bird movie and Batman 66 requests we got.
Yeah, well, now they're kind of getting excited about Doug, too, because they're all, like, quoting different stuff, like Bag the Nematode. And
yeah, yeah.
I need more allowance.
I will lay you. Why? Because I do. As if that wasn't the YouTube. I'd really listen to the Beast than YouTube for the most part.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Well, someone's like redid those songs. They sound great.
Yeah. And
catchy shit, too.
Going, gotta shout your lungs out.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some really kick ass. I mean, that it's really shorts. I will say, as a kid,
yeah.
If I knew they were coming on, having my chicken tender dinner or just sitting out on a Saturday afternoon and watching Doug or Salute Your Shorts, I can't think of anything more satisfying back then when Nickelodeon was a really – I mean, Nickelodeon was a big part of my life since the early late 80s with the You Can't Do That in Television and Double Dare and Finders Keepers.
Yep.
But when those Nicktoons came out, man, Doug – I appreciated Rocco more as I got older because of the humor just was kind of going over my head even though I liked it. But, man, I tell you, Doug really – especially the ones involving comic books, like when Doug bought that stolen issue of Man of Steel, man.
But he didn't know.
He didn't know, and then he felt so bad about it. And I'm like, it made him so relatable because I was so into comic books at the time. And
the comic book store guy's just like really bitter and shit. And he's
kids are out to steal my stuff, and you know, grumpy. Yeah, he's like, he gave us a free copy of the new Lumpy Squad. I'm like, what a lame ass comic book. Like, that's his thank you. He gives you the Lumpy Squad. I'm like, he might as well just give you the finger. I tell you to get the hell out of my store.
All right, we're gonna have to do Doug now. We're gonna have to. There's so many episodes that we'll bring back good memories, and we can poke fun at some stuff too. It'll be good. We'll do that.
Yeah, we have to pick. It's gonna be hard because you know most episodes have you know the two back to back ones.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying we'll just pick one of those and we'll do the back to back. It'll be good. Oh, ha! Very expensive.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, Mr. Dink. Hey, but for me. Mayor White always throwing in that vote for me.
Yeah.
You know, just
God. And the shitty.
Oh, yeah, at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Or no, wait. Are you talking about the Quail Man theme? Is that what you're doing?
It was like a piece. Yeah, I think they used it as Quail Man, but also they used it as other stuff too. All right. All right. We're going
for another 2 hours. Now.
Yeah, no, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks to all of you guys.
Hey, you know what? This works because Doug was Quail Man, so Quail Man wore cape, therefore capes and commentary. Exactly. So there's our loophole to do Doug.
There you go.
And Skeeter was Silver Skeeter.
Oh God! One episode. And I actually watched that episode recently where they're doing the comic book and they're getting mad at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like something that like Josh and I would have done.
Yeah.
Shit, probably you and I would have done, I imagine, if we were younger.
Well, yeah, because Nathan liked to hold everyone down. So therefore, they can't be better than him. So Nathan would be constantly like.
I'm the Triple H of everything.
Clearly, you know, yeah.
What's that say?
Nathan's trying to bury everybody on the playground. No. I'm going over.
Yeah. I actually wasn't like that to most kids at school. Just
you
my friends.
Both. When it comes to video games, you guys clearly are Triple X. Like, no. I'm the best at the video games. I am. You know.
Yeah. Maybe one day we can.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Joe and I need to play each other in something somehow one day.
Are you kidding?
I know.
Neither one of you guys. That would be like that's like. I was trying to think of like a famous match that didn't take place because they couldn't say who's going to go over. Like I'm going over. No, I am. You know. Like that would be you and Joe. Like we couldn't have the match because neither one of you guys would accept. Like if Joe beat you, you wouldn't have it. If you beat him, Joe's like, you're not leaving my house, or we're not leaving.
Yeah.
And it would just you know.
But best 32 out of 40 or 32 out of shit. It probably went math. Like 32 out of 70 or something.
And it gets to the point where Joe's playing you so long, like his paper mask just melted to his face. and he doesn't even realize
it. Yeah, it'd be like Leonardo DiCaprio in that shitty fucking Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah.
Oh, I like how Blockhead threw out, this is in reference to Punk shoot on Cabana's podcast, but you got to make Roman look really strong. And he's like, all right, yeah, I got it. I know how this works. Anyway, with that said, thank you guys for joining us live. This was a ton of fun. You guys catch us on the archive, and you're new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe, ring the bell so you get notified when we go live for Capes and Commentaries Beyond Retro podcast, and when I go live for the arcade stuff, my drunk aid that I do late at nights, and the speech gets slurred, and start expressing my love for everybody in the chat, and eating my pizza. I don't know. I'll probably do it tonight. I'll start with Spawn if I do. I'm sure Joe is already salivating.
You ought to do a segment of playing just Super Nintendo superhero games like Captain America, The Avengers, Spawn, Spider-Man, the animated series, yeah. Batman, the animated series.
Yeah.
Just keep it all. I could do that. Like, that would be fun. Just kind of do like a double feature of like two really hard superhero
videos. Yeah. I'll play him for 10 minutes. But all right. Well, it's nice. It's
like Maximum Carnage, Separation Anxiety back to back and see how long he can last.
No. I'm good. I'm good. Make sure you check out all the links down below. You can find us at beyondretropodcast.com. Those of you that are on Podbean and iTunes, download us. I want to encourage you to come over to YouTube. It's youtube.com/beyondretropodcast. Check out Fans of Power, the He-Man, the Master Universe podcast, hosted by Tyler Baker and Joe Amato and myself every Sunday at 9 p.m. Tyler's going to be back this week. We'll see how that goes. Buy Joe's t-shirts. Hit him up for a custom, and also check out the wrestling podcast that I do with our former producer Dirt, the Transitional Champion podcast. We're only 2 weeks in, and I'm already like, these shows are boring. So I'm excited about Elimination Chamber just because gimmicks and everything, but yeah, the Raws and SmackDowns, it's like they're not even trying anymore. Like there are some highlights, but everything is just like, what are you? They're just coasting. And AEW is, man,
I'm hoping it lets a fire under their ass.
They're signing some good, like, independent talent, a lot of popular, like, there's been rumors that, like, Randy Orton is considering an offer. I'm sure it's just to get more money from WWE, ultimately, but.
You know, it would be cool if they were to bring back CM Punk and sign him, you know.
I think he's done. I think his passion for it's gone. If it gets rekindled, I'm sure he's probably kind of waiting, playing the wait and see. If it does it, and he might, you never know. And that's the exciting thing about it is it's creating a buzz, but it's also creating like, well, here's a news story. This person didn't. They're not planning to renew the contract. It's like, oh, are they gonna jump ship, or is it just I'm going to try to get more money, but there is a thing that Randy Orton is kind of entertaining the idea of it at least. So see how it goes. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
If Femon had said before, I need some wrestling decor in the background to get in the mood for the Transitional Champion podcast. And
where's your beefcake figure?
I know he's right here. I need to just like set him right there. That's all I need. I figured the rumors are just going to be rumors, but you never know who's going to turn up. It'll be exciting. It'll be fun, especially if they get TV and they can do the shit where it's like, oh my god, this person showed up and no one knew.
There was kind no like Lex Luger showing up on Nitro.
Yeah. It's always funny when it pans to Luger, but then it pans back to the ring and Flair and Sting are in there and like Sting's hopping up and down. He's like, yeah, my friend is back, my buddy's back. I'm like, yeah, it's fucking Lex Luger, man. And he sucks. Anytime he would take a bump, it always looked weird. And he always had this thing. I don't know if it's still on YouTube, but you guys can look it up. There's like just a montage throughout the years of videos of him just like tapping his dick. I don't know what for. I guess he thought like it's not there anymore or something. But I'll try to find it and maybe put it in the description down below here. That way you guys can.
Oh, if you find it, send it to me.
Yeah, no, I will. And it like covers a good portion of his career, but yeah, you'll see him like get up and he'll just like touch his dick. I'm like, what was that for? It's weird. It's strange.
I wish I could show Nathan that clip of one of the Bushwhackers grabbing Jacques Rougeau, but was it Rene Rougeau?
One of those guys.
Yeah, the one with the mustache. I think it's Rene. He's picking up for a body slam, and when he's holding him in air, Butch grabs a hold of his balls and just shakes it like this real quick. And then he can, and it's just God. I mean, I'm not talking about like this. I mean, he puts his whole palm in there, jiggles it twice, and lets go.
He's just checking the oil, man. Checking the oil.
One of those things, I want to run this by Nathan, too. They were talking about the Shockmaster on Tell 'Em Steve Dick because Brian Johnson had never seen it before, and he was laughing hysterically about watching for the first time. And it just made me think about on Botchamania when they show, like, you know, the segment of, you know, memorable entrances, and it's Shockmaster coming in slow motion to Jericho's music. Come on, you know, and he's like slowly hits the ground, break the wall down. I just started laughing at myself. I was like, I just need to share that with Nathan if he remembers those segments on Botchamania. Shockmaster fall down.
There's been so many, I would have to go back and rewatch all of them. All right.
All right. I'm done.
All right. With that, thank you guys again for joining us. We hope you guys enjoyed. Leave your comments down below. Like the video. Share with your friends. Let us know your thoughts on Spawn. And until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.